So, as I say, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, is up at Stormont on his arrival. This is what he had to say.
Good morning. Well, it's great to be here in Northern Ireland. And clearly, the people of Northern Ireland have been without a government, without Stormont for 2 years and 6 months. So my prime focus this morning is to do everything I can to help that get up and running again, because I think that's profoundly in the interest of people here. All the citizens here in Northern Ireland, and I'll be helping the parties in any way I can to get that going and over the line. I expect Brexit may come up a little bit. I don't rule that out, and I think the crucial thing to stress is that I obviously attach huge importance to the letter, the spirit of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement, and will be insisting on that. Other than that, it's just fantastic to be here.
How impartial can you be, Prime Minister, given that you've already dined with the DUP?
It's all there in the Good Friday Agreement. We believe in complete impartiality, and that's what we're going to observe. But the crucial thing is to get this Stormont government up and running again. Thank you.
That's the Prime Minister on his arrival going into the meetings. Brian Rowan's going to speak to us, Amanda Ferguson as well. Amanda, did I hear him properly when he said that Brexit might come up in the conversation?
Yes, I think that's a bit of an understatement. We've already heard from the parties this morning that they'll be delivering their message that the DUP doesn't speak for the whole of Northern Ireland on the issue of Brexit. I think there's going to be a lively day ahead of us. The Harland and Wolff shipyard workers have already arrived at Carson Statue to protest, and they're calling for assistance from the Prime Minister. And my understanding is that the Border Communities Against Brexit delegation are on their way.
The Prime Minister, will he be paying any heed to protesters, or is he simply including Northern Ireland on this whistle-stop tour, but to him Northern Ireland wouldn't be the most important piece in this complicated jigsaw?
Well, I think he's used to protest. We saw in his visit to Scotland and Wales, there was a good bit of booing, and I think we saw one of the reporters today had posted a banner over the motorways, you know, saying Boris out of Ireland. So there is a lot of sort of anti-Boris sentiment within Northern Ireland, but I imagine he would have his fair share of supporters that would buy into his sort of floppy-haired, Eton boy shtick. So we'll see what happens as the day progresses. But I think that it is very much a box-ticking exercise that he has to be seen to visit all parts of the UK. And we heard Arlene Foster this morning saying that dinner, the discussion mainly included the restoration of Stormont, delivering Brexit. And then also she said that there was conversation about strengthening the union between Britain and Northern Ireland. So they were the sort of tick points and the tick boxes for the DUP. But I can't imagine he'll have just such an easy ride whenever he gets in with the other parties. And I believe Sinn Féin's in with him first.
Yes, do stay with me, Amanda. Brian Rowan is also joining us. Brian, good morning.
How are you, Frank?
Very good, Brian. My goodness, you're in a windy corner of Stormont. Maybe I can turn you around away from the wind, if that is at all possible. But, Brian, just in relation to the arrival of the Prime Minister, I don't want to sound flippant about this, but does he fully know what he's letting himself in for up at Stormont?
Well, I think his interest in this place is the 10 DUP votes he needs at Westminster. I can't imagine he's across the fine detail of this negotiation. I know he's arrived saying that he wants to stress the importance of getting an executive back up and running again, but that's much easier said than done. And I don't believe he will make things any easier. Amanda spoke about Brexit. He's on a charge down that road, doing so against the wishes of a clear majority here. And then you have other issues such as legacy, which is beginning to unravel. The RHI question, which hasn't been addressed. The issue of the Irish language, which is still unresolved within these discussions. So I think he's here to show his face. I'm not sure that he'll have much success in trying to push this negotiation forward. That negotiation will only move if the DUP and Sinn Féin move.
How much do the other parties feel that the DUP are pulling his strings?
I think that's part of the problem, that people see two negotiations going on here, two different stages and two different players. So you've got the negotiation here, which is about trying to restore the executive and the assembly. But you also have this conversation going on between the DUP and the Tories, those 10 DUP votes very important to Boris Johnson. And there is a view that the DUP focus at this stage is more on the developments at Westminster than it is on the discussions here at Stormont. There was a bit of optimism, Frank, maybe a week, 10 days ago, that they had at last found a gear change in the talks here. 4 days of conversations involving Timothy Johnston, the DUP chief executive, and Conor Murphy, Sinn Féin's chief negotiator. That was meant to lead to a further meeting last Wednesday where people had the hope that they would begin to start getting things down on paper, the beginning of drafting of possible agreements that move through various iterations to you eventually arrive at the point of a deal or you don't get a deal. That meeting didn't take place last Wednesday. That was the day that Boris Johnson became Prime Minister. And I'm told there has been no serious conversation between the DUP and Sinn Féin for a week. So having got a bit of pace into this negotiation and into these talks, all of that has now slowed again. So we're here. It's Boris's day. It's his day in Northern Ireland. He'll be in and out. And we'll still be left with those issues to be resolved here on the political hill.
Now, Michelle O'Neill's in there first, and she'll be saying she's mandated to represent people here in Northern Ireland. The DUP don't represent all the people. They've got to listen to her perspective on it, and she'll accuse them of playing fast and loose with the Good Friday Agreement and all of that. Will he actually be listening, or will he be going through his mantras the same way she's going through hers?
Does he strike you as a good listener, Frank? I think Boris is about Boris. It's about him. It's about what he needs in this moment. And what he needs from this place at this moment is the 10 DUP votes. I think there was an important, Sinn Féin gathering yesterday that Mary Lou MacDonald addressed. I think important not just for the words that she spoke, but in terms of reading the room, who was present, and I think that speech was putting down a number of markers. One, that while there have been meetings and talks here, there has been little progress. Two, that the big issues have yet to be faced up to. I think three, she was making that, outlining the Republican position in terms of a unity referendum. And I think that takes us into a third pillar that is developing within our politics, no longer just about direct rule or devolution, but there is this New Ireland conversation that is emerging. So we have the Brexit conversation and the New Ireland conversation simultaneously becoming louder. And I think in that tug of war, if you like, Frank, if we don't get something here soon, then Stormont could fade from the frame. People will move on. We were told that these talks were going to happen in a very narrow window. That narrow window has been stretched and stretched again. The talks have now crashed into Boris's space. And my first thought that I gave you was, in that space, I don't think things are going to be any easier. I think they're going to be more difficult. And we're in, I think, for a fascinating few months in politics, not just about what's happening here, but that big Brexit question, and then those other unresolved issues. How do they end up in all of this? RHI, legacy. The NIO seen as a problem in this negotiation as well, because they're seen as being a hostage to that Tory DUP arrangement in London.
Just one final point to you, Brian, and then we'll ask the same question to Amanda also. There's so much talk about a no-deal Brexit. Is there some advantage for Sinn Féin in a no-deal Brexit that would speed people towards a united Ireland?
I don't think there's any advantage for anyone in a no-deal Brexit and in that sort of chaos. I think, and I mentioned the New Ireland conversation to you, people are listening to Boris Johnson. They're listening to what he's saying about a no deal. I don't think this is a green and orange conversation that's going on. I think it's a leave and remain conversation that's going on. And we saw that in the European election when there was a very strategic thought through approach from voters to ensure that a Remain candidate got the third seat, which Naomi Long took. So I don't see it on green and orange lines. I see it on Remain and Leave lines. And I think the reason that that New Ireland conversation is getting louder and becoming louder is because people don't like what Boris is saying and don't like what might be not that far down the road in terms of a no deal Brexit. Would Parliament allow it in London? We don't know. They've said they won't. And while Boris is saying it at the moment, it may just turn out to be words. But I don't think there is any advantage for anyone in a no-deal Brexit scenario.
OK, Brian Rowan, thank you very much indeed. Amanda, patiently, I hope, still on the end of her line.
I am indeed.
Thank you, because I know you're both busy at this present moment. A lot of people do suggest that Sinn Féin will say they, under no circumstances, would ever accept a no-deal Brexit, and they'll battle to ensure that it doesn't happen. But there are those who feel that the citizens will be so upset after a no-deal Brexit that many who never considered the idea of a united Ireland would look towards the Republic for the safety net of Europe.
Yes, well, certainly, you know, increasingly you see that Northern Nationalists are increasingly looking towards the Dublin government for leadership. That is definitely something that is happening, and the unity referendum conversation isn't going away. It's not going to go away. It's a question now of when rather than if. The only people that I know that are happy with how Brexit is going at the moment are those, some of the elements on the left who voted for Brexit because they wanted chaos. They're the only people that I see with a smile on their face whenever I'm talking to them about how, you know, how everything's proceeding. And certainly even this morning, you know, Michelle O'Neill, it's a mainstream Nationalist Republican Party in a position of leadership and, you know, in both jurisdictions on the island. They couldn't be seen to be saying that a no deal is something that they would welcome. And as Brian said, a no deal isn't good for anybody. It's not good for the EU. It's not good for Britain. It's not good for Ireland in both jurisdictions. And what Michelle O'Neill was saying this morning is, look, you know, people are saying that we secretly want no deal because it'll trigger a border poll. But her argument against that was, and her rejecting that idea was, it's not a very sound basis for building a new agreed Ireland if there's the chaos that would come from a no deal.
And finally, Amanda, the ordinary Joes and Josephines, what do you think they're most concerned about with the visit today of the Prime Minister? Are they thinking mostly about Brexit, or are they thinking about the re-establishing of the executive?
Well, some people have checked out. Whenever it comes to Stormont, aren't particularly interested in the restoration of the government because they see it as somewhere that didn't deliver for them in the first place. But certainly Brexit's high on the agenda, but also the bread and butter issues are really important to people in terms of health and education, prosperity. They want jobs. They don't want a crash-out Brexit resulting in their children having to move to another country to get work.
Lots of protests mounting, and I'm sure many people echoing support for Boris Johnson as well, depending on your political perspective. But it sounds like as if he's going to have a busy day today. As Amanda and Brian will covering it for all the outlets. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Brian. Indeed, this is the U105 phone-in.